This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland, and it is time for your letters now. And here's the man with the mailbag, our senior producer, Patty Hirsch.
Hello.
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 Did you miss me last week?
I did miss you. Of course we did. But you're back.
Aw, that's so nice. So, what happened last week? What did I miss?
Well, you know, we had this other guy hosting the show.
Oh, yeah. The guy, Hobson.
Yeah. So we thought we'd clear things out, bring you back, and also bring back David Lazarus.
Excellent. Hey, David.
Hello. Well, let me give you a pat. Hello.
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 So let me tell you, the first thing that's on our listeners' minds that we got a lot of mail about is you'll be surprised to know, math.
I'm just
the man.
They're into math. Well, it appears that the attorney that Jeremy spoke to last week is also not the woman for math.
Yep.
So he was speaking to this attorney who said that a lawyer earning $160,000 was essentially working for minimum wage. Right, so a lot of people ran the numbers on that very quickly and found that even working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, that would still be well above minimum wage. But in fairness to Jeremy, he did actually question the attorney. He was like, oh, come on, he said. Those were his precise words. But of course, he didn't have a calculator handy, so he couldn't run the numbers himself. But fortunately, we had lots of listeners who did.
We had lots of listeners who did. Yeah. Went straight to a calculator
which
and
is great.
Sent us the math.
I think that's great. And what's interesting about it is it shows how skewed people's perception of their own workloads can be, right? I mean, these people really think they work that
minimum
hard
wage.
For minimum wage, and it's just not true. So I thought that was actually really revealing.
My guess is that the rest of the mailbag was probably taken up by comments about John Stossel.
Comments about John Stossel,
indeed,
yes. You know who John Stossel is.
Of course
David,
I do.
Right? Yeah. He works on Fox News. He recently broadcast a show that purported to show that Americans weren't willing to do hard jobs.
Yes. And
oh, goodness.
And I think people were a bit upset about this.
Well, some people were very upset, but a lot of people were actually very supportive. You know, they had a lot of defenders writing in to say that it is true that Americans often turn up their noses at minimum wage jobs. But of course, on the other side, people said, well, those minimum wage jobs... can barely sustain a person, you know, breathing, let alone living.
I can think of a few of my friends in the SEIU union that clean people's toilets and their offices and all the rest who would say, you know what? Bad on you, John Stossel.
Right. No, absolutely. And now, a lot of people claimed that Stossel had no data substantiating his thesis, and he was quoting the Help Wanted Index, saying that it's at an all-time high. So we checked that, and I think he's talking about the Conference Board's Help Wanted Index. And indeed, it is showing the highest demand for jobs since May 2005. But most of those jobs are in professional categories, business, finance, healthcare professionals, and management, which, of course, you need to be seriously qualified for. And you're probably racking up student loan debt of, you know, hundreds of thousands
right.
of dollars to get it.
Exactly.
And by the way, with regard to the Stossel interview, you know, it sparked a great conversation online. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this. We wanted to hear what people thought about this kind of thing. We wanted to generate conversation. There's a very interesting conversation going on online on the website. So I would encourage listeners to get on there and comment and sort of pitch in and let us know what you think. And now a number of other letters that we got in, I'm hoping that David can help us with. Suzanne B. wrote in from Long Beach. She's currently working with some recruiters to find a new job. The recruiters have been asking her to give her consent to be checked for everything from drug use to her financial situation at home. So she's applying for white-collar positions with web companies, and she's wondering if it is actually legal to check a candidate's credit and financial background before offering them a job.
And the answer is yes, as long as they get your permission up front. And then the next question is going to be, how often does that happen? And the answer to that is it's become fairly routine, especially with the white-collar, high-paying jobs, those that might have a lot of benefits and things. You're basically going to be family. Mm-hmm. They want to know who you are, and they want to know it in microscopic detail. And there are a lot of companies, data brokers, that are out there who live to serve when a company does a background check on you. But it's become fairly routine at this point.
And you should also be aware that your potential employer actually doesn't even have to hire these companies anymore to find out a whole lot about you online. Google yourself. Find out what's up there. Find out what pops up first, what kind of photos are up there. And that's the kind of thing that you should clean up before you even start applying for
that's jobs. A mini background check. And I think what a lot of people should be aware of is Facebook lives forever.
Indeed.
Right. Twitter lives forever.
Yep.
And those glib or amusing vacation posts that you were doing with bikinis and beers and tequila shots.
One?
I did, and I thought,
good on you.
Well done. You know, if only John Stossel was there and the two of you could have partied away. But this stuff is there in perpetuity. And anybody, especially somebody who is applying for a job, go online and clean up your profile as best you can first.
Okay.
On that note.
Yeah. No, the sunshine right there, huh?
So this next one is something that you've brought up a number of times with me, Tess. Those letters or emails that we get from time to time inviting us to participate in a class action lawsuit.
Right, I get those.
Right. Often against a huge corporation.
Actually, I think I got one recently that had something to do with Groupon.
Right. So what are these things? Are they like fishing expeditions, you know, or are they real? Could you get rich by responding to them?
Yes and yes. They are fishing expeditions and they are typically real. But no, you're probably not going to get rich. And what's happening here is there are lists of shareholders of companies and class action attorneys when they file a suit against a big company, whether it's Groupon, whether it's Google, whether it's Microsoft, whoever it may be, they're going to bombard anybody who might be able to be eligible for the class with an invitation to join. Mm. Now, as we all know from past stories about this kind of thing, the lawyers clean up in a class action.
Right.
They might get a third to 40% of the take, which could run into millions and millions of dollars.
You might get like $3.
$3 or a coupon for $3
right.
to use at the offending website.
Or a Groupon.
Exactly. And that's kind of the ugly little underside of this sort of thing. But does that mean that you want to get rid of class actions and do total tort reform? And the answer to that is no, because class actions are one of the most effective tools that consumers have to hold companies accountable. Will you get rich? No. Will you be able to hold a company's feet to the fire with a major settlement? Yes. And that's the key aspect here, that even though this isn't going to be a way for everybody to basically cut themselves in for a huge piece of the action, the lawyers are going to clean up. In reality, though, without class actions, there are a lot of minor trespasses by the business world that you simply could not go after them for. And with a class action, there is more accountability. Now, for anyone who's wondering, is it good for me? I'll tell you right now, when I get these, I seldom sign up simply because I just don't see it as being worth my time for what I'm being asked to give. And let's face it, you know, a coupon for 10 cents, I can live without it right now. But on the other hand, if company XYZ has done something, a privacy violation, a whatever, I do want to see their feet held to the fire, and that's why I think class actions do have a lot of merit.
All right. Thanks, David.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.